Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
This is a good start, isn't it?
Okay. This is Maggie. Maggie's gonna go now.
And this is Anderson Silver coming at you in the most unprofessional way possible, as always. Hey everybody. It's been a while since I recorded. It's good to be back. Today's March 21st. Last time I recorded was February 20th. It's been a month and a day. You know, same as you, life is tough. I wanted to share this with you because the whole purpose behind this exercise, it's not to show professionalism. It's to show you that things are accomplished through small efforts. You don't have to impress anyone. You're not looking for perfection. You're just looking to do a little bit more of what's important to you. What's important to me? Well, trying to make the world a better place. I'm an agent for positive change, as you know. So here I am, and I will continue my reading. The gods help me, I will finish this season, and I will record the other two as well, one at a time. I might end up releasing this actually three episodes at a time to go faster since I'm a little delayed, but we'll see. I digress. Let's get back to your user's manual. I'm going to read chapter 11. This one is called Love Thy Neighbor. Quote, only the development of compassion and understanding for others can bring us tranquility and happiness we all seek. The Dalai Lama. If you have accepted that all events are external and that the only thing you control is your judgment of and choice of response to said events, and that your rational, ordinary mind wants to be virtuous and tranquil, then you also understand that no matter how degenerately someone is acting towards you, it does not stop you from responding with kindness and compassion in return. Some people are toxic, and you may not want them around you, in which case you simply walk away and don't keep toxic people around you. However, in the likely scenario where you will at times be confronted by one, any angry or disgraceful response or action on your part is your own choosing. An eye for an eye is an excuse to act in a negative, angry, violent, and vengeful way. Whatever is done to you, it is already in the past. There is no fair or unfair. There is no good or bad event. There is only your good slash bad judgment and your virtue slash disgracefulness. 3 billion heartbeats. Tick tock. How do you want to react? Which response do you think will harbor tranquility? The Dalai Lama himself said, sometimes a situation requires a stern response. However, there's always a way to be kind and compassionate, even in said stern response. And the Stoic will say that no situation, a person's actions, or anything external to you for that matter, has an impact on your actions or holds sway over your virtue. You control your judgments. And so if you choose to judge something or someone as being bad, you are making a false value judgment. If your judgment still believes someone wronged you, remind yourself that this was a mistake on their part due to one of three reasons. One, they were not objectively seeing the world as it is and were seeing it only through their eyes and therefore did not even realize they were wronging you. Two, you knowingly or unknowingly wronged them. They in turn sought vengeance, an eye for an eye, as they do not know any better. They don't know any better, even when people are being, you know, irrational and violent or an eye for an eye attitude. Three, they are the type of being who derives joy from the misery of others, and they wronged you on purpose. But this once again is for a lack of not knowing any better. You, however, you know better. You know that all wrongdoing comes from disorder and irrationality. You are neither of those. You have a rational, ordinary mind. Therefore, someone knowingly or unknowingly wronging you does not have any bearing on how you act or react, and certainly does not give justification in the least on reacting in a negative or disgraceful manner. You are not in the pursuit of a life where your goal is to inflict as much pain into the world as it did onto you. You are not in the pursuit of a life of an eye for an eye, or a life of revenge or anger. 3 billion heartbeats.
Tick-tock.
Now you are in the pursuit of a tranquil life. Your virtues and rational judgment would never want to hurt any other sentient being, as this will inevitably come with its own guilt and anxieties. The best way to get even with degenerate people is not to resemble them at all. Unfortunately, in our competitive-driven society, human beings tend to think selfishly. However, the Dalai Lama never inconveniences another sentient being for his own convenience. To prove the point about selflessness and love of everyone, not just oneself, the Dalai Lama offers a mental exercise involving you and a group of people who are destitute. 1. Notice your natural experience of I, as in I want this, or I do not want that. 2. Recognize that it is natural to want happiness and to not want pain. This is valid and does not require further justification. 3. Based on this natural desire, you have the right to obtain happiness and to get rid of suffering. 4. Just as you have this right, so do others, and in equal measure. 5. Consider the fact that the difference between yourself and others is only that you are just one single person, whereas there are countless other living beings on the planet alone. 6. Ask yourself, should I use every living being to attain my happiness, or should I help others gain happiness? 7. Imagine yourself calm and reasonable, looking to your right at another version of yourself. But this self is overly proud, never thinking of the welfare of others, concerned only with his or her own self. 8. On your left, visualize a number of destitute people, unrelated to you, needy and in pain. 9. You in the middle are an unbiased, sensible person. Consider that those people on both sides of you want happiness and want to get rid of pain. In this way, they are equal and the same. 10. But think this selfishly motivated person on the right is just one person, whereas the others are far greater in number. Which side is more important? The one with the single, self-centered person, or the vast group of poor, helpless people? As the unbiased person in the middle, you will naturally favor the greater number of suffering people. Not done yet. Two more to go. 11. Reflect on this thought. If I, as one person, take advantage of the many, it would be truly contrary to my humanity and to common sense. To sacrifice a lot for the sake of a little is foolish. 12. Thinking this way, you will decide, I am going to direct my energies to the many rather than the selfish person. Through his theory of relativity, Einstein showed that space and time are interwoven, forming the fabric of space-time. If you are a tiny fraction of time, that is 7.25 times 10 to the minus 9%, how does our space, our planet Earth, fare in the cosmic scale of things? It is about 3.08 times 10 to the minus 58% of the known universe. Note that this number, if written out, would have 57 decimal points written before the 308%. Therefore, your space, the planet, is even smaller than your point in time. The cross point between these two infinitesimally small numbers makes for a lot of zeros. In the cosmic scale of things, the odds of you being in this point of space-time with the people around you is so incredibly small, it is almost an impossibility. The astronomical odds of you being here at this point in time and on this planet with the 7.6 billion human beings is so extremely unlikely, you must see others as being fellow passengers, brothers, sisters that are sharing the same improbable odds as you. To share something so unique and so rare and improbable is a bond you cannot ignore and must never forget. Boy, that's a good chapter. I hope you didn't mind Penny's little jingling, jangling around in the background. Hey, if it's a problem, let me know. Next season, I'll make sure the dogs are tied down to the ground with nets, okay? PETA. No, joking aside. I hope you don't mind the dogs in the background. Again, I'm not a professional outfit here. I'm just trying to share a little bit of my house with you here, my living room, little intimate setting. Share my books with you, which I've put my heart and soul into. Yes, they're for sale, but you don't need to buy them. I've made enough money off of these guys. Just read them. There's PDF copies out there. There's a free audiobook. If you want something more professional, there's a real audiobook. Just read this or any other books, guys. My point that I want to leave you with, and this is for whoever is left at the end of the episode, which probably is not much, but for the few of you that are still listening, man, life is so short. It's such a gift. It's such a gift. And if we forget this, then we must stop everything we're doing and remind ourselves of this. It might take a minute. It might take an hour. It might take a walk. It might take a meditation. It might take looking at a picture. It might take reading a script or a poem. Whatever it takes, make sure you remember what you are, where you are, and how unique a gift every choice you can make is. Nothing to do with the results, but the fact that you can choose to do something in the present moment makes that choice, and by extension, you, a wonderful gift from the universe in this present moment. You have a good one, my friends. I'll see you in the next one.